the officers. And once we have deployed every single officer that we have into an operational capacity, at least everyone that we can afford, this is as good as it's going to get. As a matter of fact, if you analyze the numbers, even though we're holding on to the 20% reduction of crime, we've leveled off. Homicides are climbing, shootings are climbing. We still have a good handle on property crime with significant reductions due to the Property Crime Initiative. And it was a pretty smart way of changing how we do property crime. And some of the team members that helped draw that blueprint are in this room. All these things have been effective. We have an opportunity to grow the police department with federal dollars. If we're going to increase the quality of life and decrease crime again and break through this ceiling of 20%, this is the chance, this is the opportunity. I just want everyone to know that, you know, I don't come up with numbers like 15 officers. What happens is the cops office in Washington gives you a set curriculum that you follow based on your calls for service, the technology you're using, is your focus on community policing, and they base a lot of that on the seven pillars of the presidential report as well. My grant writer is here, if that type of question comes up. Their mathematical equation tells you how many officers you can have. The maximum amount is 15 for us, based, again, on how many officers I have, how many people we give service to, square mileage, all that fun stuff, and if we're deploying our officers correctly. To prove that we may very well be deploying our officers correctly, I could apply up to 15 and get as little as zero. The cops office saw for fit to give us all 15 positions, despite Camden and Wilmington applying for the exact same grant funding and trying to figure out why they weren't able to hit the nail on the head. The difference is writing a grant and is very important. And we, again, I want to stress, our grant writer has this down. But it also comes to when the rubber hits the road, when the auditors come to see if you're actually doing what you said. Is crime down? Are we leveraging technology? Are we advancing the police department through community policing and outreach? The answer is yes. Chief, and that's led us to the grant.
Let me respectfully interrupt you for a minute, because yes, I want clarification. I think you're speaking predominantly right now about 15-1-1-12, and the current one was 15-1-1-10, which has to do with the Homeland Security grant.
Sorry, sir. Getting ahead of myself.
But you haven't done that. If it's okay with members of the council, I'll let him finish, and we'll come back to the first one.
And that is the end of it. This is an opportunity, as this council saw fit to give me an overhire of 5 in the last academy, and as I predicted, in that time, that overhire of 5 would erode. Not only did it erode, but we're down 4. So our authorized strength is 380, and we are now sitting at 376. And that's going to continue to go as the attrition rate, you know, climbs over the next 3 years, with the ability of 86 different officers to retire. And not having academies, which we've seen in the past, there's empirical evidence to this fact, leads to an increase in crime.
Okay. Councilman Wilder, and I want for everybody's clarification, we went to the second item. We're not on the first item.
He Sorry
was
about
discussing
that.
And presenting 15-1112, which has to do with the 15 officers. Councilman Wine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief, the 15 officers is certainly something that this council wants to support. We've always supported you. We have to ask ourselves and our taxpayers the question, what happens when the grant runs out? Will we be able to sustain this growth without asking the taxpayers to fund an additional tax? Our concern is even heightened by the fact that the state legislature hasn't faced its own responsibilities and looking to local government to balance the budget. That's our perspective, perhaps not theirs. So it may be out of your bailiwick, but would you want to opine on where we would go once the time comes when the funding ends?
Well, I mean, in the worst case scenario, and we can't afford it, you attrition out with 86 officers, you know, standing at the line to walk out the exit door, just like I predicted in this last academy. You would never see the 5 overhire have any effect on our budget or the agency. It temporarily held our numbers up so that the men and women that are on the street can effectively do their job and protect our citizens. But we're down those five and then four more. So of our authorized strength of 380, we're at 376. If this council sees fit to authorize or turn back $2 million in federal dollars when, you know, just in 2007, if we'll turn out this study here, Colonel Rick Gregory and County Executive Chris Coons were talking about increasing the agency by 117 officers in county dollars. That would have been expensive. So what I'm trying to do is grow the agency with federal dollars that have to be compensated with county dollars at about 50-50. At the end of the day, in 3 years' time, Councilman, if we're not in a position to fund those officers, I'd be forced into a rate of attrition, which we also know will level itself off fairly quickly. About 15 would be 1 year.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, Chief, the 86 officers that could go out in the next 3 years,
mm-hmm.
how many of those, if any, are going to be mandatory?
Nine? I believe, from my memory, sir, nine of them are forced out. Three this year, three next, and I think, you know, whatever, the last year might maybe three. If I'm wrong, it's eight. But we've seen that, you know, the job market is hardening for retired county police officers. They're in demand because they do a great job. They're being picked up by the AG's office. They're being picked up by other entities at a regular rate.
Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we have budget processes, budget presentations each year, and I think that the way our finance chairs monitor, the way this council monitors, the ongoing reports that we get from the Colonel and his excellent staff, we'll know where we're heading. We'll know if the numbers are going to, you know, stay the same and we're going to need to do something. But when you look at 23% of the force will be in a position over the next 3 years to retire, I think history's repeated itself. By the time we get done the academy, and even with trying to run back-to-back academies, we still fall short of the numbers we need. So I don't think there's any question in my mind that with what's going on around us, throughout this world and throughout the country today, and we can all say, well, it's not going to happen here in Newcastle County, Delaware itself, but it's not a matter of happening, it's a matter of when and where it's going to happen. And you know, the idea, when you talk about terrorism, you look at soft targets. Soft targets have become more of the style of the homegrown terrorists and terrorists that are being planted here. And, you know, we've got a large populace in this county. We've got a lot of shopping areas, parks, and you name it. They're all soft targets. You know, we've got areas where we should have two officers in a car, and at best we have one. So I think from my perspective on council is that, you know, to receive $1.8 million and no other law enforcement agency in the state receive that kind of support, I think it not only shows the caliber of the leadership of the department and what the job that we're doing, but I think it supports the fact that, you know, we do need more officers. And as we go forward, I wouldn't have any problem with finding money three years from now, because I can tell you, any of us can be fooled that one of the most important and probably the most vital services we're providing today and is needed to protect our people, it's our police department, it's our public safety department, but our police department in general, we're seeing what's going on around the country. We see what happens when they cut officers and staff. And even with the 15, we are still so understaffed. So, you know, I think we monitor, we work closely with the police staff, with our finance chairs, budget process. And if we look like the attrition rate isn't reducing the numbers, then I think we evaluate other services in the county. What could be more important to the citizens of this county and this nation with what's going on in all rounds, and it's far from over, what could be more important than properly staffed by the police department?
Councilman Smiley and Councilman Cartier.
Yeah.
probably going to go off kilter here a little bit, but that's kind of what I do. You know, public safety is probably the one department that we have in this county to where you don't run a lot of unfunded positions. Been here 10 years, every budget goes through the same thing. Hopefully this one will be different. It's time for this county to step up and take it. And we've done analysis before, but it's time to just take a realistic look at every department that we have and say, okay, we've got vacancies in these departments where we need people. We've got them funded. Let's hire the people, put them in there. Let's get a realistic staffing of this county, see what money's left in the pool, and put it where we need it, whether it be to bolster the public safety budget, whether it be to bolster the special services. But I'd really like for once to get an honest and clear fiscal look at the end of the fiscal year and staff these positions. It's time to quit playing games with the public's money so we can say we're in the black at the end of the year. We showed a surplus. We're showing a surplus because we've got unfunded positions. We've got people doing... Anytime you're trying to do... I always said you can't do 10 hours working 8 hours a day. But you can try to do it and something suffers. So my point being, I don't know that there's enough money in this current budget to fund going in the 3 years forward to meet the needs that we're going to have. But I know we're not getting a fair and have not been getting a fair and honest look at this county budget and the staffing. So it's time for the administration to realistically, honestly, and fairly work with the department heads and let's fill those positions. Let's see what money's there and let's move forward. And for me, I'm going to tell you, nothing against public safety. But I don't care what department it is in this county. They all provide a valuable service. And if I've got to throw a vote out there to increase the taxes, to provide the services that everybody wants at every meeting, then that's what I'm going to do going forward. I don't care if public safety is fully staffed, but we can't maintain the parks and the sewer system and everything else, then I'm going to do what I have to do with my vote to see that we fund what the people. I keep being told it's what they want. It is what they want. It's what they need. I'm going to throw out my favorite. Do they need to sleep under the stars for $81,000? I don't think so.
Councilman Cordia.
Okay, thank you. I want to get into the actual proposal on the ordinance. So we're going to get almost $300,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice for community-oriented policing service hiring program. That's for this fiscal year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that is not the entire amount needed to fund 15 officers.
It's half the amount.
It's half the amount.
Yes.
So it's a grant we match.
Yes.
Okay. So we're looking at about $600,000 to staff up with 15 officers, half coming from the federal government, half coming from county funds, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then we've got, so you can, if this passes, conceivably go into an academy and start staffing up for hiring 15 officers.
Yes, we would be ready for an academy in January. We would change our authorized strength from 380 to 395.
Okay, so you're going to raise the authorized strength.
Yes.
But the background is that the agency is going to have retirements coming on, people leaving, and you're projecting in you have about 86 people
over the next 3 years.
Okay. So it's pretty hard to gauge from this description whether we're going to have, you know, an absolute impact, although you're going to raise the number authorized strength to 395 from 380 now.
We're requesting council change our authorized strength from 380 to 395.
Okay. All right. Just trying to get the detail.
Sure.
The one thing that I just want to throw out there, too, it's a little far field, but I think council members have to really start to be aware. I have a lot of discussions with my state elected officials about the state budget. You know, we get that transfer tax revenue, which, you know, we dedicate 73% of that to public safety.
That's correct.
Approximately, it's worth approximately $18 million in the last couple of years, give or take. And that's an imminent danger of being removed from us, the transfer tax. So I'm all for, you know, our police force and the valuable things, the services they provide, and the deterring crime and, you know, getting the criminal element. But I just think we're facing a real problem with the state government and the funding of a transfer tax from them. And that people got to think about that, because that's a potentially $18 million hole that could open up in our in the income to public safety department.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I said in this room before, we can have as many police officers as we are willing to tax the taxpayers to pay for. And I know that public safety is a priority in this government. 67 cents out of every taxpayer dollar goes to public safety. 41% of the personnel in Newcastle County assigned to public safety. I would just like to say that it's not 50%, it's not a 50% match. The first year from the federal, if you look at the legislation from the federal government, there would be $291,000. The first year from the Newcastle County in this ordinance is $367,000, which is the majority, which is all of the monies that are left in the contingency for Newcastle County Police. I would note that in the previous ordinance that the amount for to the county cost was $392,000. So I don't know how that number changed, but it is different from the ordinance that we looked at before. And the amount next year for, and I don't know if there's $367,000 left over in this contingency from a total of $627,000, but I would note that last year, I believe, was the first year there was a contingency for public safety. That $500,000 went to the heroin educational program. This is the second year with $627,000. So next year, I'm not so certain how much is going to be in contingency for public safety, but the cost of Newcastle County next year, not 3 years out, the cost of Newcastle County next year is $771,000. So I would have to be concerned about where we're going with the budget with these kind of costs, considering also that the state has levered to us animal control at $1 million a year. Just last meeting, we also set the stage for the DNA laboratory, which would cost us in capital funds $1.7 million in capital funds next year, and you add that to the $90,000 that we allocated in the last meeting for a total of $1,840,000. So there's quite a bit of cost involved in public safety, and I agree with that. But also, I think there's a responsibility to manage. We have, I believe, some of the greatest technology of any police force in this region. We have the diffusion center. We have a drone coming on board. So there are a lot of things that we've done here, and I think that a better police force is what I think we all hope for, not necessarily a bigger police force. But if we, you know, the will of council is the will of council. I have no reason to think that this won't pass, but for myself, I think when I look at the numbers, it would be a difficult vote for me, knowing what I know and seeing what I see. And the experience that I've had before, when we had, when this ordinance first came to us, it was to remove the money from tax stabilization. And I've seen tax stabilization go from over $300 million down to a tax increase of double digits. So I have to be concerned about what the cost of this is and what it's going to eventually cost the taxpayers once we start nailing down on the tax stabilization reserve dollars.
Okay. Would it then be, if that's your position, Do you think it would be appropriate for us to consider not accepting the federal grant?
The federal grant comes with this. You can't separate the federal grant from the matching funds. So if you accept the federal grant, then it means that you also accept the responsibility to the public here. They both go together. So there's no separation of the federal grant from the local requirement.
So rather than accept the federal grant and spend the money, it would be prudent to send the money back or forego it?
No, my way of looking at this is the fact that the federal grant does not come with conditions. The condition of the federal grant is the local taxpayers are also charged with applying local tax dollars to the federal grant. In other words, the federal grant isn't free. There's a cost associated with the federal grant.
Okay.
So if you want to pay for the federal grant, which I believe the majority of the members of council want to do, then the will of council is the will of council.
Okay, but I would respectfully suggest that, separate and apart from the instant decision, that we'd want to give close consideration to the long-term impact, because this was a competitive grant. We won the award, and if you don't accept the award, then that reduces the likelihood of you being able to compete at the same level and get the same result going forward. So that would be a concern of mine. Councilman Powers.
Got most of my questions answered myself, and what Councilman Holland said, I mean, over the length of it, it's a 128.75 grant, 3.29. I just really had a question. How much does an officer make coming in?
When you do bullets to benefits, an officer historically annually costs you $1 million. $100,000. I was about to say, when you do 10 officers.
Yeah, I'm applying for the next academy.
I stepped on that one. But when you do
10, we got a lot of money sitting in this.
When you do when you do 10 officers, you're talking about $1 million.
Because, you know, it works out, and it's a half a year problem. It's 38,845, and in the 19, it's 105,399. Is what you need.
What?
105,000. But it goes up the next year to 89,582. The next year is 101,425. And the fourth year is 105. $400. But that was partly, I was just seeing it gradually goes up pretty quick. Because I think the first full year says right here, what you have in here for 17 is just under $90,000.
And Councilman Hollins pointed out the differences in the dollars and cents this year to that year. But as I understand it, as you extrapolate this across 3 years, it ends up being 49.51%. So it is. I mean, I think these folks are pretty sharp pencils back there.
That's not what's printed.
No, see? What's printed is.
No, they're saying over the 3 years.
No, over the 3 years. Every year the county pays more, and yes, it increases to be more. So it's, nowhere is it 49 or 50%.
No, it's not. I mean, I haven't done the percentages, but the percentage is 1.75 to 2.21.
Point of order, let's one at a time, please.
And the grant does come with parameters from the cops office in Washington, D.C.
Chief, you have a lifeline in back of you.
Carla Jones, Public Safety. I had just wanted to address some of Councilman Holland's concerns. The first one is about the difference in the first ordinance and the current ordinance. The numbers are slightly different because when Public Safety had to find money within its existing budget to pay for the 15 officers, we found areas where we could reduce costs, like with equipment. We felt that we could order some of the equipment in fiscal year 2016 instead of this current fiscal year. So where you see a slight difference in the two ordinances, it's because of that. The second thing is the county portion for fiscal year 16 this year is going to be paid out of contingency funds, which is $367,000. That was budgeted in the police budget for fiscal year 16. There was an additional $250,000 budgeted for the community intervention program for a total of just over $600,000. Next year, fiscal year 17, we're actually working on that budget now. you know, it's still to be determined if we will have contingency money in our budget next year. That will be up to the administration and council to decide. But I just wanted to address the question about the contingency. There is no guarantee that that contingency money will be there next year. And the original intent of the contingency money was not necessarily for the cops, for the 15 positions. It was for a contingency for the division in the event that something came up over the course of the fiscal year, which it has. And that's why we decided to use that money for the 15 police officers.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Holland, does that cause you to have any more questions?
Well, the way the ordinance is written, just on the point of the first ordinance, it says here that the cost to Newcastle County is $367,000. The original ordinance said that the cost of Newcastle County was $392,000. So, if the cost was $392,000 to the county last month, why isn't it still $392,000 to the county? I can understand that there's only $367,000 left in the contingency, but this reflects the cost to Newcastle County, not the cost to the contingency.
Okay, Ms. Jones.
Councilman Collins, the way that we got to the 367 was basically to forego some of the equipment and supplies and materials that need to be purchased for the officers. We're going to purchase those in fiscal year 17 if the positions are approved. So basically, in order to fit within that 367, we found areas that we could pass the costs on in fiscal year 2017.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilwoman Dillon.
I think this is fairly clear. After 3 years, we have to be willing to pay $1.5 to $2.2 million for 15 extra officers. That's really the question.
Or we have to attrition them out.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you could add a clause that after 3 years they'd be laid off. But the bottom line is we're looking after this grant goes away, which grants inevitably do. We have to be willing to pay $1.5 to $2 million to make this work.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the question is, I suppose, Councilwoman, is, you know, if not, and we run with what we've got, then the answer is the answer. What we've got is good enough. This is good enough for our constituents. We're good. We were able to reduce crime by 20%, and we'll hold that line. Or we can travel through time and look at when we used to run the department at an attrition rate, 16%, 17%, 18%, 19%, and down 30, 40, and 50 officers, crime went up, quality of life went down, property values go down. I'm not a genius, but I understand policing, and it's not good to go back to the way it was. I think we can all recall when we first implemented TAPS and began looking at the areas that you were vastly concerned with that now are almost wiped off of the radar, to include the area of Kimberton, Edgemoor Gardens, and the list goes on. The entire Doors area of Route 9. I mean, these are the same areas that plagued us for two decades, and I'm not saying that we don't have any problems. I'm simply suggesting that I don't know how else to improve it. I've deployed everything I can think of. I've leveraged technology, and as far as a DNA lab goes, it's not a DNA lab, it's ruggedized DNA machines, and this is an area of technology that this agency was not able to do. We were always victims to whatever the state dealt out. So instead of getting DNA back in, say, 90 minutes, you're getting DNA back in 9 months. That's if you're lucky. Or you can beg the FBI and get it back in 12 months, or you can pay $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 in a particular homicide case to Bodie Labs and get it back in 7 months, or maybe they'll hurry it up and you spend an extra $5,000 and get it back in 6 months. I mean, the difference between looking at someone's DNA in 90 minutes, so you've got a guy on his second burglary, let alone his second homicide, and we're not waiting 6 months while they walk the streets. This is the future of policing. And, you know, agencies that are not leveraging technology, agencies that are not becoming a proactive model and are relying on 911-driven policing are failing all over the United States.
Councilman Small.
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, apparently the grant requires that these 15 positions be funded for 12 months after the end of the grant. So
If this is approved, I expect that every budget from that point forward is going to be to fund 395 positions. I don't know that we'll ever have the 395 positions, just because I see and I hear how many applicants you go through.
Yes.
In order to get the personnel.
Yes.
So, we can find, tax, assess the money, what's needed to provide public safety if this council so decides. I'm concerned with being able to find the bodies to fill the positions that we do fund. But I sit here and recognize as co-chair of finance that through attrition as well as an availability to get those numbers, that there may be funds, or I expect there would be funds left over in each budget if we don't get the staffing.
That happens.
So I just want to say I recognize that. I see what we have to do. At the same time, I say to the administration and everyone else, we have the unfunded positions. And I know maybe, it's not January yet, but I'm on budget mode. I also want the people in assessment that we need to do the bills, to do the cross-referencing. I also want the people in special services that we need to take care of the parks and everything else. We got the money laying there. Tired of politicizing it just to make it look good. We're gonna fund the police and make sure they what they have. Why are we funding other departments and not putting the bodies in there? Let's be fair to every department and make sure the citizens get every service that their taxes are supposed to be providing, including public safety.
So I'm going to stay in my lane. My job's public safety, sir.
My job's in my mouth whenever I get an opportunity.
I just want to talk to you, sir.
But, I see where we're at. No.
Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Point taken.
I guess some of the points that have been brought out reflect back once again to the caliber of leadership, staffing command, and the members of our department. Because if you think about it, what we've heard is through creative financing, through holding off doing certain things so that they can come up with the money, okay, to assist with funding these much-needed positions. That's being done. We also talk about all the futuristic technology, and it's great, and it does. I think it'll enhance officer safety. It enhances our ability to respond, protect folks. But at the same time, think back. We have one of the most proactive departments in this county from the standpoint of grant writing and acquisition of equipment through federal, state, and local grants. And if you add all that up, you're looking at literally millions of dollars that the department is saving this county from having to go out and purchase. And, the other thing is we talk about, deployment of officers. And I'm fortunate. I grew up in the Newcastle area. Love where I grew up, and still have part of Newcastle, but go south of the canal. And Bill and I, from the 6th and 12th, I've said it before, when you look at 92% of the pending lots to be built are in southern Newcastle County. 73%, okay, of the unbuilt lots, okay, are in southern Newcastle County. And I think the last time I checked, I don't think we're much over probably three officers or so patrolling on a routine basis.
You're not.
And it's southern part of Newcastle County.
So, and that's going to change.
Yeah. So, it's we've been blessed in many ways that we haven't had the maybe the criminal element or activity. But as we build out in the central core, you're going to see an increased need of police services in the southern part of the county. And I think that I would agree with Chairman Smiley. I think that we monitor what we have. We take a look at positions that are vacant. And if we get to the point of having to make some tough decisions, then maybe we look at areas that aren't able to self-support themselves. Maybe look at areas that it is nice to have it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing, I don't think, and the majority of the people in this county that's more important than their life safety.
Thanks, sir.
Councilman Smalley.
One more shot, and then I'm done.
You gonna aim it at me this time?
Who wrote this grant application?
It's a bevy of people that are involved, but primarily you have
the executive office.
Well, Major Feaser's shop would be involved in that in providing the information and numbers. Lori Kane would be involved. Joe Dzinski. I mean, there's quite a few people.
All within your department?
All within, no. There are people in the executive office that are involved in help writing the grants.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say, Mr. Deputy CAO, everyone else, part of the way we help find this money, I found $70,000 in a federal grant writer I ain't seen squat from. So I suggest that not be in the next budget. Put that money into public safety.
Again, shooting over me.
You're missing me. Looking. I'm short, but I'm looking.
Okay, but I want to come back home. I can't let this go forward without me getting in this. And number one, I was in the room before this document was presented with then County Executive Coons and then former Chief Rick Gregory. This number brought us to 450-something. My number then was 500. My number now is 500. And again, the will of council be the will of council. Now, there's a former state representative who said to me during the fiscal crisis that the state had that before the state would cut police, there'd be 100 kids in every classroom. Now, my attitude is not that far off. By the same token, it's not that much different. End of the day, it's what you're dealing with. I don't care what anybody says, my prediction is it's only a matter of time before the state and the county are going to be called upon to assist the city of Wilmington in a significant way with the current crime problem. You don't have to go any further than the public press to see the statements attributed to some of our state legislators, and I don't think it's going to be business as usual. Number two, talking about my council district. Since the day before Thanksgiving. One of my parents got grandchildren in the house, minding their business. They moved out of the city to be safe outside the city on Newcastle Avenue. All of a sudden, she hears glass, there's bullets coming through her doors, them fools outside, they had a little shootout on Newcastle Avenue, shot up her house. Nobody in her family had anything to do with it. There appears to be a turf war between drug dealers in Rosegate and Dunleaf. So as a result of that, they go through Dunleaf and they shoot up an entire house. Four people in the car, we got three shooters, one still at large. So with these kind of things going on, and then you look at what I don't know, but I have some feeling for the fact that everything is going on around the world and indeed within our nation, that you're getting intelligence that we don't have access to that needs to give us all great concern. And even though they're not in our jurisdiction, you got two major venues where a lot of people go a lot of times in this county. And if something happens, you can be assured that we will be called upon to respond to a potential crisis. One of those venues I think is covered very well. The other venue I have some great concerns about that I think there needs to be some discussion about. Then you look across the entire county. You don't have to go any further than the police reports that have been released to the news media in the last week. Murder in Brandywine apartments. There's been murders just about. And there's been murders in several districts. I'm not going to go through the news releases. To me, the need for an increase in the number of police officers in this climate speaks for itself. And I think we'd be irresponsible at best to turn back $100, let alone $1 million. So, you know, I adamantly support this. As far as I'm concerned, Chief, I appreciate your work. You brought TAPS here. You've taken TAPS to the city. It's been an asset to the city. But your number, as far as I'm concerned, and you're the police chief, I'm not, is 100 short. So, and I think in your heart, if politics wasn't in the way, as Councilman Smiley indicates, that my number would probably be, your number would probably be closer to my number, because that's the reality of what we're dealing with. Or so-called nuisance crime, when your car gets shot up, when something gets stolen out of your car, when you got property missing out of your house, just like right now in this state and other jurisdiction, you get a number. Here's your number, call your insurance company, because we don't send cops for that. That's going on as we speak. And before I'll sit here and be co-chair of public safety and allow that to happen, I'm going to keep screaming and hollering. The will of council will be the will of council, but I'm going to keep advocating for the number of 500. Yes, Chief.
I just want to add, sir, when we do look at the value of the dollars that go into this, since you brought those two cases up, I want to point those two cases out. Based on the TAPS information, based on crime analysis, a two-person TAC car was assigned to the Route 9 on the area of the night of the shooting that you're talking about. And that car was stopped immediately after that shooting. They were taken into custody, and those guns were recovered, and they're going through ballistics right now. Just as a point of information, if you're wondering, you know, what the heck are we paying for, and when you want to look across jurisdictions, that's what you're paying for. In the second case, where there was a drug-on-drug homicide up north, 48 hours later, detectives have the warrants for arrest because of the technology that we've invested in already. It was a software program that does a particular function inside of our criminal investigations unit that I'm not going to get into that allowed us to solve the homicide within 48 hours. And furthermore, you know, that is one of many that have been solved and many have adjudicated. We've cleared up our first cold case where a man was brutally beaten to death with a baseball bat. Look at that study by Colonel Rick Gregory where they said we can't afford to have a cold case unit. We can't afford to be proactive. He wrote it, not me. That was in 2007 before the housing bubble burst. And we have, you know, changed the police department. We have a cold case unit. We have the forensic ability to look at these crimes better and quicker and do a better job at public safety. And I think people feel safe in Newcastle County. Certainly the online surveys suggest they do. So if you do feel like you're throwing money off the back of a train and you're willing to give $2 million back to Uncle Sam, as the councilman said, that's the will of council. I have to yield to it. But I submit to you that there's nowhere else to go with this agency. I'll continue to do everything I can. I promise you that, no matter what the decision be. But if we want it to get better, if we want to lower crime yet again, and you want to see these clearance rates in these types of cases so that you can stand in your council meeting and say, yes, that was solved, that person that was responsible for that is under arrest, then I suggest this is the better way to do it.
Chief, the only other thing is we had some discussion today about the DNA,
yes,
and the expense for that. And for me personally, we have an opportunity to have the technology to arrest someone expeditiously or reduce the likelihood of arresting the wrong person.
Yes.
Then I think we were correct to seize upon that opportunity. Because the hardest fact of the matter is, as a nation, generally, people incarcerated for long periods of crime, for long periods of time for crimes that they did not commit,
yes, sir,
are usually low-income men of color.
Yes.
So I think the equipment there and the technology is an asset to the department, and certainly it reduces the likelihood of making mistakes that have cost people their lives and cost other governments literally millions of dollars.
I concur.
Anything else?
I want to hear the chief say, J Street, you are the father.
You just said it for me.
Anything else from council on this matter? Okay, let us go back then to 15. Calm down, young lady. Please.
Handle the other grant.
110. Good afternoon, Chairman. Dave Carpenter, Coordinator of Emergency Management for the Ordinance 110. This is the annual appropriation for funds received or will be received, equipment received from DEMA through the Department of Homeland Security grant. Typically, the operation with this is DEMA, the state agency, administers administers the grant through a statewide terrorism working group. That working group that deems the expenses from each of the agencies that have been put in for proposals, and each of the agencies that receive those acceptance of those proposals then work with the state agency in order to purchase the equipment. Once the equipment is received by Newcastle County, we have to accredit that against Newcastle County's accounting system as an asset. And so this is what this ordinance does, is records the expected amount of equipment being received from DEMA for the FY14 fiscal year. The amount of the equipment, I won't get into some specifics, because some of the, obviously the individual pieces of equipment are somewhat of a sensitive nature in the law enforcement industry, but it does cover a lot of some of the EOD equipment and SWAT equipment. And then the other two, one program is going to be a module off the Smart 911 program. That Smart 911 module will allow us to do some planning and preparedness measures for the citizens that register with smart911.com. And then one of the smaller amounts is for our annual personal protective equipment maintenance. A lot of the equipment that we get through the DHS grant then requires annual maintenance. Some of the meters require updating and calibration. Some of the SCBA and some of the other equipment that we have obviously requires some annual fit testing and testing equipment on it. And some of the equipment then has to be released back for disposition. And so that's what that amount covers. The bottom portion, or the other allocation of money, is for every year there is an allocation by the working group for training and exercises, and whenever we hold a full-scale exercise, the staff and some of the staff and personnel, the medics and police officers that attend that, we can get reimbursed for those, for the time for that, for them to participate in the exercise. There's also opportunities out there through the both law enforcement, EMS, and the fire service, and 911 communications and OEM to attend training through DHS on some of the federal consortium. And when you attend those, you have to pay the money out through your agency and then get reimbursed from the state. And that's what that allocation does, allows us to operate under that premise. Are there any questions on this? Is, again, the annual allocation. We've been operating for this with this grant since FY99. Obviously, the amounts have dwindled over the years and have been decreased, but we are still down on a monthly or on a quarterly basis with the state putting in and coordinating with those agencies in order to acquire as much funding as we can for the equipment that we can get.
Questions, comments from council? Questions, comments from the public? Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate
you. I'll excuse the colonel.
We have anything? Does any member of council have anything on the other? Any comments, concerns from the public? Councilman Smiley.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, meeting.
Hey, how are you, Tim? Welcome back.
See you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, it's a little busy in here.
Well,